Well, right now, I'm welcoming into the studio the citizen lobbyist. Welcome, citizen lobbyist.
Hello. Shaking a little rain off of me.
Oh, that's true. It's true. I'm looking through the window, but you have come through the rain to be here today.
And so it's September again.
Yes.
But I hear the weekend's supposed to be good, so that all's supposed to be good for Santa Fest.
I have been telling people that this weekend, if you were going to be out and about and do anything, do it this weekend. Forget everything else. Go outside. The high point will be a 77-degree day, but all 3 days, starting Friday as part of that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It'll be great for Friday flying.
Everything. Everything is going to be good. Well, we've had a couple of meetings. The big one, of course, was that one that happened with none other than, of course, the Borough Assembly, which met there Tuesday and did their work then.
Yep,
so
for sure.
Where shall we start?
Well, let's start there, Mike, because it was a long meeting you and I were both at. It found all the Assembly members there except for Mayor Halter, who I think had been arranged to be gone quite a while ago, but not sure about his absence. Deputy Mayor Beck actually was running the Assembly meeting. He's the representative from here in Palmer, and I thought he did a really good job, Mike. Did you think so? There was a completely full chamber. There's primarily almost exclusively on one subject, and I think Mr. Beck did really an admirable job running a good, respectful with a lot of testimony. I think I counted 6 pages. I think there's 9 on a page, so that's how many people signed up. A lot of them, almost all of them, took their entire 3 minutes.
That's right.
To talk, and a few at the very end weren't there. But I haven't gone back and looked. But I think probably 35, maybe.
Yeah, roughly that.
Yeah.
And it was his tone. I would agree. The way he handled it was, you're right, it's respectful, but he was able to focus on, I would say, the positive. If someone had a variety of things to say, he would pick the thing and thank them very much for doing that.
You're talking about the guy that said, "I love you all."
Yes.
There you go. Well, that's a nice
before he went into the butt.
But he gave it, you know, it's kind of funny at those meetings because sometimes that directive is given not to clap after people and to try to be respectful, and it doesn't always happen. And I thought that he did a great job. There really wasn't a lot of that.
Right. Right.
Apparently people were, you know, obvious when they were in agreement, as they normally are. But it was, as you said, really respectful and well done. So really, you know, the beginning, they had a few little reports. I was really taken by the report from the new risk management guy that has been there a couple of times now from the borough. And he's been going over all the insurance policies, looking for savings.
Right.
Boy, oh boy, has he found some.
Whoa.
I were pretty stunned by that.
I was blown away by when we start talking about not 6, but 7 figures of a change and a review that suggested that it was an update to a way of doing that wasn't necessarily bad, but it was not an efficient use of funds for insurance. That's what I picked up.
Right. So he has found a lot of savings there and gave out a nice, piece of information for people to let them know what it was, what it is now. He talked about the coverage, got a few questions from the Assembly, and I think they're all pretty pleased with the work that he's doing. He continues.
He certainly, whatever he has been paid, he has earned it many times over.
I would think. They did have a very short little report from the school district, who was there mainly in support of the big thing on the item that most people were there to talk about, Mike, and that was the possibility of putting a proposition to the voters in the ballot in October about a sales tax to support education.
Right.
So there was a few short words about that. They had a couple of reports from the cities, but mostly it was the cities in regard to how they felt about the sales tax. So it really wasn't anything new, and this is usually those reports are, this is what's happening in my city, and these are the important things. But mostly it was their concern about adding a sales tax to the existing sales tax and how that would affect their cities.
I was particularly taken by Nate Wallace, this Palmer City Manager's presentation. I thought he spoke about in more detail rather than saying, oh, we oppose it because it would be difficult because da-da-da-da. I thought he did not preclude, and he was very careful, I think, to say, we're talking about a proposal that's on the table right now, or it's up there. This doesn't preclude more discussion, et cetera, but and what I came away with as I listened to him and I listened to others was that this particular ordinance and its what there were four or five immediate revisions that mm-hmm. were included and being presented was not really ready for prime time. It wasn't clean and clear or answering a number of those issues. I had the feeling it was the result of some rushing, my sense about it, I thought about it after going away, was if you're going to aim a sales tax at a particular purpose and you wanted people to vote for it, you didn't want it to get entangled with other sales tax proposals that were on a ballot, which in October there are, depending on where you live. If you live in Wasilla, you live in Talkeetna. And you would also want it to be really, really simple.
Yeah, and it wasn't simple. Let's roll back just a little bit to the beginning of the meeting so we can get a few other reports in, because that really is the bulk of what we need to talk about today. But they did have a visit from their lobbyist, John Harris.
Right.
The borough lobbyist, who's talked about this being the longest running legislature in the history of the state, at least since they put in the 120 or 90 day session, depending on who you talk to there. He talked about the fact there's going to be a very small capital budget. Lots of maintenance needs to be done. That is, somehow that day of reckoning is coming for that. So he gave a report not very optimistic about what things are going to. There's not going to be any new projects really in the borough. It didn't look like to me. In fact, they took some money out of what's left in the slowly dying Kabata or Bridge fund there and moved it over for another purpose. So he did say community revenue sharing is going to come through, but it's going to be less because smaller the communities are getting more because they're, being hit by this recession pretty good. So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be interested to see if they decide to employ lobbyists anymore, if they decide to take on that burden themselves like the city of Palmer has. There's certainly something to be said for cuts. And mostly when lobbyists are down there, they're there to try to get more capital project money and kind of be the feet on the ground. And I don't know how that will work out. That would be a budgeting
especially if you begin to have back-to-back years with very little capital.
Right, and no real future of looking for any. I also wanted to give a little shout out to Barbara Doty because she's been very concerned, and her constituents and the area have been concerned about another real hot item that we're hearing about, Mike, and that's the detached fourplexes. I think Zaz Hollander did a great job in the newspaper article on that. Maybe we can talk to her more tomorrow on Valley Edition about that. But she said a resolution did come from the Fishhook wanting there to expedite some type of ruling on these fourplexes. And so I was kind of unclear where that left them other than the fact that she didn't want to actually open the subdivision code, which is that is part of at this point, but she wants some discussion on that. And I'm not sure where they left that other than to say, yes, that they did acknowledge that and that they did need to, they were doing some work on it and I guess hope to hear from their planning department about it. Did you get another takeaway from that I've missed?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
That was a good point. In this particular case, pushing something on and saying we want a report to be able to properly talk about it, I think was the important thing. It's not something you could do casually.
Yeah. So they kind of skipped right away. They moved the ordinance that you were talking about, which was an ordinance to adopt a area-wide sales tax of 3%, although as you have mentioned, there were several amendments coming forth. In fact, I think the school board themselves were only asking for 2%. To support education, to grant the borough the powers to levy it, and submitting a question to the voters. So I think we have to start off by saying, you know, I've worked on a lot of initiatives. Mike, you've worked on them. All the work really is in the education at the beginning of it and letting people know what's going on. And this one, somehow people walked into that building, I felt like, and thought the borough assembly was going to vote on this. And yes, they didn't get the memo that this was about the discussion to put it to the voters, which mostly people are in support of, is to have voters to have the power for these big things. And in fact, they have to, by law, have to. But they didn't seem to be informed in that, nor were they informed that the borough is unable, by the way, they're constricted again by state law, to dedicate funds. So they couldn't say in any language anything in writing that this would go to the school district. They could put the intent, and it would hope that another assembly would keep with that intent. But people were bothered by the fact that it was going, I think, into the general
one fund. Yeah, and one of the, well, I think there are two strains here. One strain is, I think, using the term taxes immediately brought a reaction to say, no, I don't want to talk.
Never.
Okay.
There's the never group. Never, no matter what.
There's the other aspect of it, which I didn't think got as much attention as it may in the future. And that is something that the mayor, Vern Halter, had articulated a long time ago, a way of saying, number one, we're dependent upon real estate taxes. How do we keep that from going up by spreading this around another way? In other words, tying the raising of sales tax to the maintenance lowering of the mill rate. How do you make that? Is there a way to do that?
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because another thing that failed to get across to the voters is that the borough attorney commented that this particular proposal was exactly, almost verbatim, what the city of Wasilla has, that a large part of the population is already working under. And part of the tax revenue that they use is to offset the fact that they have no any type of mill rate in the city of Wasilla. They have, 17 big box stores? We have two in here in Palmer. So they're able to do that because of the lot of sales by people from the outside, the city area, coming in and paying that to offset property tax for
in the general.
But they didn't get that message apart.
Right.
And there's nothing in this that I've seen, and I can double check this with the city of Wasilla, that binds them to do that. They just do it. But there was a lot of angst from people saying, I don't trust the government. I don't trust the borough, the way they're spending their money. There was a lot of anecdotes brought up about the ferry and about failed practices. They aren't convinced. There's this group that is loud and proud of the fact that they don't think there's been enough cuts. They're stinging from their cut in their PFD. They don't trust the government. They don't believe that if that's the intent, that that's the way it'll work out. And the other side of it is they don't know exactly how much the district or the borough is funding the district at this point. There's a lot of them that still think that they fund it 87%, which has been sort of the calculation that a former manager put out there for many, many, many years, which was never true because that included all the money from the state,
sure,
too. It's more like 57%, I think, or maybe even less than 50%.
I think it's
57%, but I have to look back at my notes. So they're still caught up on that washing machine recycle. So a lot of just erroneous facts. And what pains me during these long testimonials is the facts never are straight. It's not like anybody goes at the end and is a fact checker that says, okay, there's been from both sides here some remarks that we need to all
clarify,
come together on,
yeah,
clarify that we're all on the same page. that didn't happen. And it bothers me because people walk away empowered by fallacies. And they may never change their mind because it hasn't been corrected in a public forum. So that, right. that bothers me a lot. So it went back and forth and back and forth. I think even the first testifier, who was Bob Hall, well known here, owns firework stands in City of Houston, who was also there in support. They don't often come, not in support, and they don't often come to these things, said if it's a tax on the ballot that he'd support it and he'd vote for it. He's a business owner. This is who they say.
Yeah, he was interesting. I found his very balanced, thoughtful.
But he stopped and said that the proposal was flawed.
Yes.
And that and it will fail if it's flawed. It's the one that needs it. And I don't. He didn't think that the assembly members nor the district understand the task at hand. And that the school district should ask for more time, and that he thought that the voters supported schools and roads and EMS, but there's this entity of strong opposition to the community, which he was a perfect person to speak first, I thought, because he kind of covered exactly what was going to happen for the evening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then what after it all was said, pretty much, I think the assembly agreed with him mm-hmm. by basically... The technical approach was to take this thing and set it off into a corner somewhere and invite the manager and the administration to come back later with something that had been worked out with other groups.
Right. So we need to clear that up a little bit, because I've seen a little bit of this interaction on Facebook and a lot of people critical of Assemblymember Jim Sykes, who voted against the vote at the very end. And the vote was because Mr. Culligan from Wasilla made a move to postpone it indefinitely, which
right.
means this particular piece of bill with this number on it for this ordinance cannot come back. Now, that's not to say that it can't come back in another ordinance. Any assembly member can bring it in. But this particular one was off the table. And what Mr. Sykes objected to was that everybody was leaving after all this work that had been done in anguish, hearing all this with just no plan. It's kind of like the state, no plan. We're all walking away saying, yeah, there's a problem. We've identified that. We've identified it 50 million times, but we're not going to talk about it. All he wanted to do was put a date on it. So
right.
that they'd be forced to have
come back and
this
continue
conversation. So I think there's been some unfairness, I will say, on Facebook to Mr. Sykes about that.
Well, it's one of those deals, though, where you're saying, is there anything of value left in what was proposed that could be modified? Or are we going to somehow think about wiping the slate clean and start over? It's a classic problem.
You know, every time they've talked about sales tax, you have to use a model. So they've always used the Wasilla sales tax as a model. So
okay.
I can't believe they're going to not use that. That's what the city attorney or the borough attorney is most comfortable with using, is that...
Something
that,
proven?
Right, something
survived.
Proven. So what needs to be done is to bring in the user groups, find out why that's flawed, what needs to be done, and what education needs to be done to the community. They can start by inviting Mr. Hall to the table. And I hear those, it's already going on, that they're having it. So that proposal was defeated. Mr. Sykes did not prevail. But I just want to make that clear to listeners that it really was not Mr. Sykes that wanted this particular, that's not why he voted that way. He voted against there not being any plan to talk about it.
Right.
So there still is no plan to talk about it, other than the fact that the manager has said that he is going to bring some stakeholders. They did try to pin him down, I think, Ms. Doty asked, what help us manage our expectations?
Right.
And he thought by the first meeting in November, he would have something else. So I, you know, whether it will not be this ordinance, it will be a new ordinance, what it'll look like, we will know when we get there. But, you know, again, I think, it's all about the education. And I do think, though, and I try to find something positive during those long, arduous meetings, Mike, I think it was good for the school district to hear from the community and what their objections were, because I think it's, and the borough too, because I think that it's easy sometimes to just, you know, kind of sit in your own little tower and think you're doing a good job. They are doing a good job.
Right.
And it's good for the public to hear a little more of, are we comfortable having 40 kids in a high school class? Are we comfortable having, as someone said, 30 kindergartners running around with scissors? You know, those are the type of things that need to be had said. So hopefully that's what we will lead to, is having some big, robust community conversations and getting the facts on the table.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes left here today, and I just wanted to touch upon something, because we've been talking about those people that are sitting up there making decisions. And the assembly in particular, we have a slate of candidates, because we have two assembly seats coming up.
We do.
And one of the candidates to replace Mr. Culligan, whose seat is up, is Ted Leonard. And there are two other candidates, Pat Hogan and Colleen Vaig.
Colleen Vaig is on the Planning Commission as we
right.
speak. I think she's president of the Planning
Commission. Right. So you have three people. I think that race is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Leonard is married to Colleen Sullivan Leonard,
yep.
who is now in the legislature. Mm-hmm. And I don't know a lot about Pat Hogan, but the three of them, I think it might be a nice race.
And it's the city of Wasilla, so, and they're having a big
mayoral
candidate and some council members, so there should be some good turnout there. I'm a little concerned about the rest of the borough, since unless they've decided, and I had to leave before the very end, Mike, did they cancel to Thursday's meeting?
I believe they did, yes.
Okay, so they're not going to put anything else on the ballot.
No.
So Talkeetna will have a reason to come out because they're watering.
And Wasilla?
Sewer and Wasilla, and then hopefully some folks in Big Lake will come out also, because there'll be something on there for them with an assembly.
And we have
school board members.
Yeah, and we have another assembly seat. I don't want to ignore Big Lake
right.
area, because Mr. Mayfield is he's up, and he has one opponent in Clayton Two. And then over the school board, there are two seats. Ole Larson has no opposition. And Kelsey
from the city of Wasilla area.
Right. And Kelsey Trimmer
from Barbara Doty's district
has one person running against him. He's the incumbent, and that's Emery Schramm.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that might result in some interesting changes as time goes on here.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, local elections, as we've said oftentimes, Mike, are probably the most important ones. They affect your mill rates. They affect a lot more up close to you than what people realize sometimes, and voter turnout can be dismal. So I hope there is some energy around getting people out and getting them to the polls. Next year, of course, we'll be blasted with information
because
it'll be House races and Senate races.
Yeah, there's going to be national
races,
there's going to be state races, there'll be
races.
Additional.
Not national races here. I don't think we have anybody up next. Oh, that's right, Don Young.
Oh, come on.
Right,
how soon we forget.
I know. That's every 2 years. Crazy.
Okay. Citizen Lobbyist, I want to thank you for coming in here again through the rain. It's getting to be a very interesting time, and appreciate your insight. Have a good day and a good week, and we'll talk to you next week.